Welcome to this deep dive. We're going to be exploring a pretty fascinating chapter in biblical history, the Ark of the Covenant. It's captured by the Philistines, and then it's an eventful journey back to Israel. It's all described in 1 Samuel chapters 5 and 6.
Oh, yeah.
And get ready for some divine retribution, ancient plagues, maybe even some golden rats. Who knows? We'll find out.
I think golden rats are definitely on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As we uncover what happens when human arrogance sort of clashes with divine power.
Right. Yeah. This is, it's not just a historical account. This is a theological thriller.
Ooh.
We're going to witness a clash of cultures, a clash of beliefs, almost like a battle of the gods, if you will.
Right.
And a stark reminder of what happens when humans disrespect the holy,
yeah,
even if they aren't Israelite.
Yeah. Our mission here is to understand the significance of the Ark and then also the power dynamics that are at play between Yahweh and the Philistine god, Dagon. And what are the implications of divine holiness for both the Israelites and their enemies?
Mm-hmm.
So to set the stage, remember the Israelites' devastating defeat, the death of Eli and his sons.
Right, right.
The Philistines capturing the Ark was a huge blow. They essentially thought that they had conquered Yahweh himself.
Yeah, they thought they had him on the ropes.
Yeah.
And that's where their troubles begin. You know, they place the Ark in the temple of their god Dagon, almost as a trophy, right?
They assume
that they can contain this power.
Like they can put it in a box.
Yeah, exactly. Put it on a shelf, yeah. But that's where the story really takes a fascinating turn.
Yeah. So let's talk about Dagon for a moment.
Okay.
Who is this god? Is he a fish god? Is he a weather deity? Or is he a grain god?
Right. It's a question, a debate that scholars have been kind of wrestling with for centuries, really.
Yep.
The name Dagon is related to the Hebrew word for fish.
Yeah.
So the older interpretation of Dagon, they pictured him as kind of this fish-like deity.
Oh, interesting.
But more recent scholarship kind of suggests that he was more of a fertility god, perhaps.
Oh, but
maybe connected to grain or the weather.
Okay.
And potentially even Baal's father.
Wow.
According to ancient Ugaritic texts.
Ugaritic texts. Now, what are those?
These are texts that were discovered in the ruins of this ancient city, Ugarit.
Yeah.
And they give us a glimpse, kind of a window, into Canaanite mythology and religion. They provide really valuable insights into the cultural and religious landscape of the time, helping us understand the Philistines' beliefs and practices.
That's fascinating. So regardless of his exact nature, Dagon was clearly the top god, the number one god in the Philistine pantheon.
The big cheese.
Yeah, the head honcho for sure.
Head honcho for sure.
But when they entered his temple the morning after placing the ark there, they found their mighty god face down before the ark, almost as if bowing in submission.
Right. Yeah, it's very strange, very peculiar.
It's a powerful image, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
And then it gets even more intense, right?
It does. The next morning, they find Dagon again, prostrate again.
Uh-huh.
But this time, his head and hands are severed, and they're lying on the threshold.
It's decapitated in his own temple.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine walking into your most sacred temple and finding your god decapitated?
Yeah.
It's a wild scene.
So what's the significance of that?
So in the ancient Near East, the head and hands were seen as the seats of power and authority.
Okay.
So to sever them wasn't simply an act of violence, but it was a symbolic act of disempowerment.
Well,
it's Yahweh kind of asserting his dominance over Dagon, right?
Right.
Demonstrating that he is the true source of power.
Oh, that's interesting. And talk about a lasting impression. It's said that even today, some believe that priests at Dagon's temple in Ashdod avoided stepping on the threshold.
Right.
They wouldn't dare touch what the god had touched.
Yeah, it demonstrates the profound psychological impact of this event,
Right.
Even the Philistines kind of recognized that they were dealing with a force beyond their comprehension.
Totally. But that's not all.
No. It gets a little worse.
The Philistines are about to experience Yahweh's power in a much more direct way, in a much more unpleasant way, a plague of tumors.
Oh, yeah.
So the exact nature of the affliction is debated. Some scholars think it could be bubonic plague,
right,
noting to the mention of golden rats later on.
Right.
Others suggest something much more, shall we say, visceral.
Yeah.
Regardless of the specifics, the text paints a pretty vivid picture.
It does.
Of widespread suffering and panic.
Absolutely.
Like they couldn't contain or control the consequences of what they had done.
Right, right.
So the Ark is moved from city to city. Ashdod, Gath, Ekron. And each city gets hit with this plague.
Every single one.
They've captured the Ark, but they haven't captured God.
No, they haven't captured the main thing.
So what happens next?
Well, in their in their desperation, the Philistines, they turn to both their priests and their diviners.
Priests and diviners. Now, what's the difference between those two?
So priests, they were the keepers of the the religious rituals, the intermediaries between the people and their God.
Okay.
Diviners, on the other hand, they specialize in uncovering the divine will.
Oh.
Think of them almost like ancient fortune tellers. They used various techniques. They interpreted omens. They cast lots. They, read the stars.
Oh, wow.
To kind of gain insight into the future, or maybe understand the will of the gods.
So kind of like reading tea leaves, but with a lot more on the line.
Yeah, I think so.
So was this kind of divination, was this acceptable in the Israelite religion?
Oh, absolutely not. This was strictly forbidden in the Mosaic law.
Okay.
Yahweh wanted his people to rely on him directly.
Gotcha.
Through prayer, through prophets, and the law.
Okay.
Rather than resorting to these pagan practices,
yeah,
to seek knowledge.
So what do these Philistine diviners advise? What do they say?
So their advice is, it's surprisingly wise, actually.
Right.
They tell the Philistines to send the Ark back to Israel.
Okay.
And more importantly, they kind of draw this parallel between the Philistines and the Egyptians,
okay,
who hardened their hearts against Yahweh.
Right.
So they realize the danger of defying the God of Israel.
So that's pretty astute coming from pagan diviners, right?
Yeah, yeah. You would think that they wouldn't necessarily connect those dots,
yeah,
but they see the writing on the wall, you know?
Yeah.
They realize the power that they're dealing with.
And so they prescribe a rather peculiar guilt offering to accompany the Ark.
Right.
5 gold tumors,
uh-huh,
and 5 golden rats.
Now, that's not your typical gift basket, is it?
Not at all. Not at all.
What's the thinking behind that?
Yeah.
So it's symbolic. The 5 gold tumors represent the 5 Philistine cities that were affected by the plague.
Okay.
And the 5 gold rats could be connected to the nature of the plague itself.
Interesting.
Potentially representing disease and pestilence.
Okay.
It's a way of kind of acknowledging the affliction that they've experienced.
Right.
And seeking to appease Yahweh.
So how do they send the Ark back with a grand procession?
Not quite.
Right.
They place it on a new cart, hitched to 2 cows who have just given birth, but with their calves penned up elsewhere.
That seems cruel. What was the purpose of that?
Well, it was a test, right? It was a way to ascertain Yahweh's will.
Okay.
The natural instinct of a cow that has just given birth is to return to its calf, right?
Right.
So if the cows, despite their maternal instincts, if they pull the cart towards Israelite territory,
yeah,
it would be a clear sign that Yahweh is directing them.
So like a moving miracle.
A moving miracle.
I'll put that
to prove Yahweh's power.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
The cows lumbering all the way, head straight for Beth Shemesh in Israelite territory.
Wow.
Never turning aside.
I can just imagine the scene.
Yeah.
The Philistine rulers nervously trailing behind.
Yeah, they're biting their nails.
Watching to see if this divine experiment will work.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly.
And on the Israelite side, when they see the Ark returning, there's just this outpouring of joy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The celebrations in the street.
But their joy quickly takes a somber turn.
Uh-oh.
Why? What happened to the Philistines trying to take it back?
No. Nothing like that.
Okay.
The Israelites in their excitement, they make a critical error.
Uh-oh. What do they do?
They offer up the cows and the cart
All right.
as a burnt offering to Yahweh.
Which seems like a heartfelt gesture.
It does. It does.
What's wrong with that?
So while their intentions were likely pure,
yeah.
their actions highlight a really important point about holiness. You know, there were very specific protocols
mm-hmm.
for sacrifices in the Israelite religion.
Right.
And this spontaneous offering, while well-intentioned,
yeah.
wasn't in accordance with those protocols.
And, you know, it kind of foreshadows a recurring theme that we see throughout the Old Testament.
What's that?
Even well-intentioned actions, you know, Damn. Can have serious consequences when dealing with the holy. Remember, the ark represented God's very presence.
Right.
And approaching it required reverence.
Right.
And careful adherence to these established rituals.
So are you saying that Yahweh punished them for this?
Well, the text, you know, the text tells us that some of the men of Beth Shemesh
uh-huh.
looked into the ark.
Okay.
And as a result, many of them died.
Oh, wow.
Whether this was a direct punishment for
yeah.
the improper sacrifice or mm-hmm. a separate incident isn't entirely clear.
Okay.
However, it reinforces the idea that the ark was not to be treated casually.
Right. So what do you mean by looked into the ark?
Right.
Did they just glance at it?
Yeah, yeah.
Or did they open it up?
So the Hebrew word used here, it's open to interpretation.
Okay.
Could mean simply to gaze upon.
Uh-huh.
But given the severity of the consequences, it's likely they did more than just glance.
Okay.
Perhaps they opened the ark or even touch its contents.
Oh.
This act, you know, regardless of their intentions,
yeah.
demonstrated a lack of respect for the holy.
Right.
And a disregard for the boundaries
yeah.
that separated the divine from
yes.
the human.
And the punishment was how many people died?
That's where things get interesting. Some mm-hmm. translations say 70 men died.
Okay.
While others give a much higher number.
Yeah. Okay.
50,070.
That's a huge difference.
It is. It is.
How do we make sense of that discrepancy?
It's a great example, you know, of the challenges that we face when interpreting ancient texts.
Right.
There are various theories. Some scholars believe these large numbers were a literary device
right.
intended to emphasize the gravity of the situation rather than a literal count.
Gotcha.
Others suggest, you know, maybe we're misunderstanding the ancient Hebrew term translated as thousand.
Okay.
Perhaps it referred to a smaller social unit,
okay.
like a clan or a military division.
Okay.
It's also possible there were errors in the transmission of the text
right.
over the centuries.
Right, right.
Regardless of the exact number, the core message is clear.
What's that?
Approaching the holy without proper reverence and authorization yeah. can have dire consequences.
For the mystery, but the lesson is clear.
Yes.
Don't mess with the ark.
Don't mess with the ark.
So what was the reaction of the people of Beth Shemesh?
Well, they were understandably terrified, right?
Right.
They cried out, who can stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? This reaction, it highlights the dual nature of God's holiness.
Yeah.
It's both awe-inspiring and fear-inducing.
That's fascinating.
It is.
Because earlier we heard about Hannah,
right.
mother of Samuel, rejoicing in God's holiness.
Yeah, yeah.
Same attribute.
Right.
Very different reaction.
Exactly.
So how does our relationship with God shape our understanding of his holiness?
Well, that's a great question. That's a question for the ages.
Yeah, it is. It is.
For Hannah, a woman of, you know, deep faith,
yeah.
God's holiness was a source of comfort and hope.
Right.
But for those who are estranged from God, right, who disregard his boundaries and commands,
yeah.
that same holiness can be terrifying.
Right, right. So what happened to the ark after this?
Well, the people of Beth Shemesh,
yeah.
fearing further calamity,
yeah.
they decide to send the ark to the town of Kiriath Jearim,
okay.
where it remained for many years.
So let's recap what we've learned from this this wild tale.
Yeah.
The Philistines capture the ark.
Right.
Thinking that they've conquered Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
But they quickly learn that they've made a grave mistake.
Big mistake.
They experience plagues.
Right.
Their god Dagon is literally toppled and humiliated.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
Not only do you lose,
right,
but your god is desecrated.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
And their attempts to control the Ark only lead to more suffering.
Yeah, it seems like the more they try to control it,
yeah,
the worse things get.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a story that reminds us that God's power cannot be contained or manipulated.
But can't be put in a box.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even when the symbol of his presence, right, the Ark is captured, God is still in control. Mm-hmm. He's not bound by human actions or expectations.
And we also see the importance of respecting the dangers of approaching God casually.
Yes.
Or without proper reverence.
You know, the Ark represented God's presence.
Right.
In a, very tangible way. And
right,
it demanded respect.
Yeah.
And careful handling.
And this idea extends beyond the physical Ark, right?
I think so.
It makes me think about, the things that we treat with reverence today.
Right, right.
What are the modern day arcs?
Ooh.
That demand our respect and consideration?
That's a great question.
Are we talking about sacred texts?
Maybe.
Our
yeah.
personal beliefs and values?
Possibly.
Places of worship?
Could be all of those, you know.
Right.
It's about recognizing that there are aspects of life that deserve our reverence,
right,
and careful handling, you know.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's the natural world,
right,
the dignity of human life, the
yeah,
pursuit of truth and justice. What are the things that that we hold sacred,
right,
that we should approach with humility and a sense of awe?
That's a challenge to think about.
It is.
What deserves that kind of respect in our modern world,
yeah,
where everything feels so immediate,
right,
and accessible.
Right. Yeah, very true. Very true.
You know,
I think that maybe that's part of the lesson here. You know,
okay.
The Ark's journey reminds us that there's a difference between possessing something and truly understanding its significance.
Okay.
The Philistines captured the Ark,
right?
But they failed to grasp the power it represented, you know,
right,
the reverence it demanded.
It's like they treated it like just another war trophy.
Exactly.
Not realizing the weight that it carried.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we do that sometimes too, don't we?
Oh, for sure.
We might acquire knowledge, possessions, even relationships without fully appreciating their depth,
right,
or the responsibility that comes with them.
So this ancient story about a sacred chest,
right,
isn't just about some long ago religious ritual, right?
Oh, I don't think so.
It's about how we approach the world around us, what we value, and how we demonstrate that value through our actions.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
It's a good takeaway, I think.
So the Ark's adventures offer this kind of timeless reminder of the importance of humility, reverence, and recognizing that there are things in life that are bigger than ourselves.
Right, right.
Much bigger.
And that God's power, his holiness, isn't something to be trifled with or manipulated for our own ends.
Right, yeah. It's not a tool to be used for our own selfish purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something to be approached with respect, with a sense of awe.
And with an understanding that his ways are not always our ways.
This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive.
It has. It's been great.
I hope you've enjoyed this exploration of the Ark's journey. And the lessons that it holds for us today.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a story that continues to resonate across millennia, right?
It does.
Reminding us of the power of faith, the importance of respect, and the enduring mystery of the divine.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Keep exploring, keep questioning,
and learning,
and keep seeking knowledge.
Always
later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
It is. So how does our relationship with God shape our understanding of His holiness?
Well, that's a great question. That's a question for the ages.
Yeah, it is. It is.
For Hannah, a woman of, you know, deep faith, God's holiness was a source of comfort and hope.
Right.
But for those who are estranged from God, right?
Yeah.
Who disregard his boundaries and commands, that same holiness can be terrifying.
Right. So what happened to the ark after this?
Well, the people of Beth Shemesh, fearing further calamity, they decide to send the ark to the town of Kiriath Jearim.
Okay.
Where it remained for many years.
Okay, so let's recap what we've learned from this wild tale.
Yeah.
The Philistines capture the ark,
right,
thinking that they've conquered Yahweh,
mm-hmm,
but they quickly learn that they've made a grave mistake.
Big mistake.
They experience plagues.
Right.
Their god Dagon is literally toppled and humiliated.
Talk about adding insult to injury. Not only do you lose, but your god is desecrated. It's not a good look.
Yeah. And their attempts to control the ark only lead to more suffering.
Yeah, it seems like the more they try to control it, the worse things get. Yeah. Yeah, so it's a story that reminds us that God's power cannot be contained.
No.
Or manipulated.
It can't be put in a box.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even when the symbol of his presence, right, the ark is captured, God is still in control.
Right.
He's not bound by human actions or expectations.
And we also see the importance of respecting the holy,
right,
the dangers of approaching God casually.
Yes.
Or without proper reverence.
You know, the ark represented God's presence in a very tangible way.
Right.
And it demanded respect,
yeah,
and careful handling.
And this idea extends beyond the physical ark. Right.
Well, I think so.
It makes me think about, the things that we treat with reverence today.
Right.
What are the modern day arcs,
ooh,
that demand our respect and consideration?
That's a great question.
Are we talking about sacred texts?
Let's see. Yeah.
Our personal beliefs and values?
Absolutely.
Places of worship.
Could be all of those, you know?
Right.
It's about recognizing that there are aspects of life,
yeah,
that deserve our reverence,
right,
and careful handling, you know.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's the natural world,
right,
the dignity of human life,
right,
the pursuit of truth and justice.
Yeah.
What are the things that that we hold sacred, no, that we should approach with humility,
yeah,
and a sense of awe?
Yeah. That's a challenge to think about.
It is.
What deserves that kind of respect in our modern world,
mm,
where everything feels so immediate,
right,
and accessible, you know?
Yeah, very true. Very true. I think maybe that's part of the lesson here. You know, the ark's journey reminds us that there's,
yeah,
a difference between possessing something,
uh-huh,
and truly understanding its significance.
Okay.
The Philistines captured the ark,
right,
but they failed to grasp the power.
Yeah, it represented, you know,
right,
the reverence it demanded.
It's like they treated it like just another war trophy.
Exactly.
Not realizing the weight that it carried.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe we do that sometimes too, don't we?
Oh, for sure.
We might acquire knowledge, possessions,
yeah,
even relationships,
right,
without fully appreciating their depth,
right,
or the responsibility that comes with them.
So this ancient story about a sacred chest,
right,
isn't just about some long ago religious ritual, right?
No, I don't think so.
It's about how we approach the world around us,
right,
what we value,
yeah,
and how we demonstrate that value,
right,
through our actions.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah. It's a good takeaway, I think.
So the Ark's adventures offer this kind of timeless reminder,
yeah,
of the importance of humility,
yeah,
reverence,
and recognizing that there are things in life that are bigger than ourselves.
Right, right.
Much bigger.
And that God's power, his holiness, isn't something to be trifled with or manipulated for our own ends.
Right. Yeah, it's not a tool to be used for our own selfish purposes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's something to be approached with respect, with a sense of awe, and with an understanding that his ways are not always our ways.
This has been
such a thought-provoking deep dive.
It has. It's been great.
I hope you've enjoyed this exploration.
I have.
Of the Ark's journey and the lessons that it holds for us today.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a story that continues to resonate across millennia, right?
It does.
Reminding us of the power of faith,
mm-hmm.
the importance of respect,
yeah.
and the enduring mystery
right.
of the divine.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and until next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Keep exploring. Keep questioning.
Keep on learning.
And keep seeking knowledge.
Always.
Later, alligator.
In a while, crocodile.
It is, it is. So,
yeah.
So how does our relationship with God shape our understanding of his holiness?
Well, that's a great question. That's a question for the ages.
Yeah, it is.
For Hannah, a woman of, you know, deep faith,
yeah.
God's holiness was a source of comfort and hope.
Right, right.
But for those who are estranged from God,
yeah.
who disregard his boundaries and commands, that same holiness can be terrifying.
Right, right. So what happened to the Ark after this?
Well, the people of Beth Shemesh, fearing further calamity,
yeah.
they decide to send the Ark to the town of Kiriath Jearim,
okay.
where it remained for many years.
Okay, so let's recap what we've learned from this this wild tale.
Yeah, let's.
The Philistines capture the Ark,
right?
Thinking that they've conquered Yahweh,
uh-huh.
but they quickly learn that they've made a grave mistake.
Big mistake.
They experience plagues.
Right.
Their god Dagon is literally toppled wow. and humiliated.
Talk about adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
Not only do you lose,
right.
but your god is desecrated.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
And their attempts to control the Ark only lead to more suffering.
Yeah, it seems like the more they try to control it,
yeah,
the worse things get.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a story that reminds us that God's power cannot be contained.
No.
Or manipulated.
It can't be put in a box.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Even when the symbol of his presence, right, the Ark is
yeah.
captured, God is still in control.
Right.
He's not bound by human actions or expectations.
And we also see the importance of respecting the dangers
yes.
of approaching God casually
yes.
or without proper reverence.
You know, the Ark represented God's presence in a you know, very tangible way.
Right.
And it demanded respect and careful
yeah.
Handling.
And this idea extends beyond the physical Ark.
I think so.
It makes me think about you know, the things that we treat with reverence today.
Right, right.
What are the modern day arcs
Ooh.
That demand our respect and consideration?
That's a great question.
Are we talking about sacred texts?
Maybe, yeah.
Our personal beliefs and values.
Possibly.
Places of worship.
Could be all of those, you know.
Right.
It's about recognizing that there are aspects of life
yeah.
that deserve our reverence
right.
and careful handling, you know?
Yeah.
Perhaps it's the natural world,
right.
the dignity of human life,
right.
the pursuit of truth and justice.
Yeah.
What are the things that that we hold sacred?
Right.
That we should approach with humility and a sense of awe.
That's a challenge to think about.
It is.
What deserves that kind of respect in our modern world?
Yeah.
Where everything feels so immediate
right?
and accessible, you know?
Yeah, very true, very true. I think that maybe that's part of the lesson here, you know?
Okay.
The Ark's journey reminds us that
yeah.
there's a difference between possessing something
mm-hmm.
and truly understanding its significance.
Okay.
The Philistines captured the Ark.
Right.
But they failed to grasp the power.
Yeah.
It represented, you know?
Right.
the reverence it demanded.
It's like they treated it like just another war trophy.
Exactly.
Not realizing the weight that it carried.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And maybe we do that sometimes too, don't we?
Oh, for sure.
We might acquire knowledge, possessions, mm. even relationships
what?
Without fully appreciating their depth.
Right.
Or the responsibility that comes with them.
So this ancient story about a sacred chest
right.
isn't just about some long ago religious ritual,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's about how we approach the world around us.
Yeah.
What we value and how we demonstrate that value
right.
through our
actions.
Precisely. The Ark's adventures, they offer a timeless reminder of the importance of humility, reverence, and recognizing that there are things in life that are bigger than ourselves.
Right, right. And that God's power, his holiness, isn't something to be trifled with or manipulated for our own ends.
Right, yeah. It's not a tool to be used for our own selfish purposes.
Yeah.
It's something to be approached with respect,
right,
with a sense of awe, and with an understanding that his ways are not always our ways.
And maybe in approaching the world with that kind of reverence, we might find ourselves not only avoiding harm, but also opening ourselves up to deeper meaning.
Yeah.
And a more profound connection to something greater than ourselves.
I think you're right. Yeah. It's a beautiful thought.
This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive.
It has. It has.
I hope you've enjoyed this exploration of the Ark's journey and the lessons that it holds for us today.
Absolutely.
It's a story that continues to resonate across millennia, right?
It does. It does.
Reminding us of the power of faith.
Uh-huh.
The importance of respect,
yeah,
and the enduring mystery of the divine.
That's right.
Well, thanks for joining us, and until next time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Keep exploring, keep questioning,
keep learning,
and keep seeking knowledge.
Always.
In a while, crocodile.